Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents A Crew's Fling by Laura Brown, narrated by Kelly Taker.
Day 1. Florida. When life hands you lemons, don't wait for them to rot. The boat swayed beneath Mackenzie Laurel's feet as she walked along the outdoor promenade of the luxury cruise ship, the warm sun melting her troubles away. Or trying to. She squashed those pesky burdens down into the depths of the ocean surrounding the ship, determined to make the most out of this last-minute impromptu getaway. And when she returned home, nope, not going there. She'd been wandering for a bit, learning the layout of the ship, making notes on the important things to revisit, like the ice cream shop where she planned to spend her onboard credits. She hoped that when she returned to her room, her luggage would magically have arrived. She wanted to unpack, change her clothes, and settle in, but no luggage. She prayed it wasn't a sign that this trip was doomed and she really shouldn't have splurged while her life headed into a tailspin. Worries for another day. A menu hung in the shop window, and she scanned the flavor options, from the standard vanilla and chocolate to a fancier black raspberry chip to... oh my, a lemon sorbet. Would it be wrong to try them all? Not in one sitting, of course, but a valid goal for her vacation. As soon as she could unpack. She headed out of the promenade, leaving the warm sun behind for cool air conditioning, winding her way back to her stateroom. Fewer luggage pieces sat outside doors than before. She knew the cabin steward sometimes put the luggage inside the cabins, so the whole visual could be misleading, and Mac didn't want to get her hopes up. This entire trip, her being here contemplating ice cream under the hot sun, rather than huddled under blankets on her friend's couch, felt like too much. It tempted her bad luck, probably the sole reason why her luggage was MIA. Please don't still be MIA. Thanks to last-minute availability and a pushy friend-slash-travel-agent, she had found herself in a suite, a balcony one at that. She was used to tiny inside cabins with no windows. Small by hotel standards, this cabin was the lap of luxury for the typical cramped cruise space. The rectangular room, complete with a couch and queen-size bed, had a place to sleep and sit, and a balcony to escape from it all. Her life had gone down the drain, and there might be no recovering from this bad decision of epic proportions. But she planned to get the most out of her impromptu getaway. Thank you, Danny. Mac arrived at her cabin. No luggage outside. No luggage for any of her neighbors either, which did not fill her with hope. She pushed into the room, momentarily dazzled by the ocean view greeting her, unable to help the smile on her face. She'd left the sliding door open, and the ocean smell filtered through, better than any candle she had back home. Her cell phone rang, blasting Single Ladies into the air, Danny's theme song. Mac put the phone on speaker, staring at the blue ocean outside her balcony, wondering what kind of cell plan she had to work over the Atlantic Ocean, or what the charges would be, charges she could no longer afford. Her worries climbed out of vacation mode and took over once again, as though they aspire to be flesh-eating bacteria.
Danny, I shouldn't be here.
Relax. I told you, the cost of that tiny nosebleed inside cabin was the same as this lovely balcony stateroom, none of which should matter, since this is a gift, and you deserve it. You can't seduce some unsuspecting hunk in a nosebleed cabin.
Danny was co-president of the Get Mac Laid Club, with their other BFF, Susie. Reason number one why they forced her to pack all her sexy underwear. Danny was also not her conscience. Mac, on the other hand, was not in the club. She wanted to relax, and after being dumped, she'd be fine without a man hogging her bed or failing to bring her to orgasm.
And what do I do at the end of the week? You get your shit out of storage and return to my couch. I'll keep you well fed and tons of ice cream as we ponder the direction your life should head.
but only if you enjoy yourself. Her voice turned serious. Don't let that a-hole destroy you. Max swallowed against the emotion clawing up at her throat. Chad's history.
Yeah, thanks to himself. You let him walk all over you.
Danny. A headache. She was going to start her vacation with a headache.
All right, I'm done. We can have this conversation next week. After you get that sexy little bot of yours laid.
Not likely. But Mac would deal with that later. She disconnected and discovered the mystery as to why the call had come through in the first place. Wi-Fi calling. Imagine that. Her life was in the toilet bowl, yet she watched the ocean tumble past. Sounds of music and chatter waved in from the open balcony in every direction, except hers. Make lemonade, Mackenzie. She'd find a way, somehow. She turned back to her cabin, her gaze landing on two black bags nestled by her couch.
Luggage. Just not her luggage.
Max sighed, contemplated calling Danny back, positive this idea was destined to fail.
But the ship had set sail. She couldn't exactly leave.
The black luggage held no personality to it, except that it appeared beat up, as if it had been through a car wash more than once. A strip of gray duct tape covered a small portion. Mac wasn't even sure she wanted to touch the pieces, but had to admit luggage didn't stay clean. She shifted them, finding the tags, complete with the stateroom they were supposed to be in. Several floors down. How the hell had they managed to get into her room? It would be one of life's great mysteries. But maybe, just maybe, this person had her luggage. Stranger things had happened. Case in point, this cruise vacation. Mac poked her head out her door, but no staff members lurked in the hall. She turned back to the luggage. She could put them outside or lug them down to customer service. Both worked, but which one was right? She had a thing with decisions, namely that she sucked at making them. Hence the reason why she'd ended up in her current unemployed while on a cruise ship predicament. She'd learned long ago that there was always a right and wrong answer, and she and her rotten lemon luck had a penchant for the wrong answer. So which one would the right answer be? Leaving the bags outside or customer service? But a little voice nagged. If she made it down to customer service, then she might as well dump them off where they belonged. Not like she had anything better to do. And maybe, just maybe, she'd managed to acquire her own luggage along the way. Right or wrong, it gave her something to do. Mind made up, Mac grasped the handles, noting that for a beat-up pair of luggage, it moved easily on wheels. She checked the tags again. They both belonged in the same place. Time for a little adventure. Cole Matterhorn pulled out the piece of paper tucked in his travel folder, a not-so-subtle reminder from his employee that his vacation did not provide an escape from the deadline 2 weeks away. Have a great trip. And remember, we need a decision on going remote or renewing the lease ASAP. You know my vote, but this isn't my decision. Yeah, he knew. A frustrated sigh escaped him as he shoved the paper back in the folder. Because he had no good answers. A damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. Each option worse than the first. As a travel agent, remote made sense, but he'd worked hard to set up his office. He had long-standing customers that preferred those face-to-face visits. On top of that, the office was in a busy area, and he got regular leads that just happened to see his sign, the reason why he'd established himself there in the first place. He'd lose all of that if he went remote. Tell that to the person raising his rent. New owners decided he'd been paying too little and now wanted a big chunk more. Either decision guaranteed him a loss. He needed to sit down and crunch the numbers and figure out what loss looked best. Not that he hadn't crunched the numbers more times than he could count already, each time hoping
some magic loophole he'd missed would appear. A loophole hell-bent on avoiding him. Cole rubbed the back of his neck. This postage stamp-sized room in front of him would not aid him in any decision-making. Nothing screamed loss like a tiny inside cabin. He could have upgraded, gone for something with more breathing space, or at least a goddamn window. No, he was roughing it. As much as one could rough it on a cruise ship. He was used to much more luxurious accommodations, and was willing to wait until the last minute to book said accommodations. Had been since... well, since. No use planning for a future he damn well knew wasn't given. He once gave himself less than 12 hours to pack and board a plane. Not this time. This time he planned, booked, months out. He coordinated with Trent, his buddy, on the best phase of Trent's latest 6-month cruise contract to party. And here he was, on Trent's final week. Trent understood him, one of the few people who had known him since, before. Back when he had 2 legs and didn't use a prosthesis. Trent had been the lucky one, and kept all his limbs. And Cole didn't want to think about that recurring nightmare. Not on a crowded ship where someone could be plotting nefarious things. All passengers and luggage were X-rayed prior to boarding. But one never knew. Cole's motto, always be prepared. He dropped his carry-on bag in the corner. The rest of his luggage had yet to arrive, but he knew to expect delays and planned accordingly. Still, not much to unpack, and his visitor was running late. The conditioned air nipped at his skin and climbed up his right pant leg, cooling off his covered calf. A chill tickled his left ankle. Now was not the time to feel sensations from body parts he no longer possessed. It reminded him of things he didn't want to think about the fragility of life. The reason why he kept his circle small, less people to worry about. If it left a hole inside, well, that blame belonged to the traumatic backstory he refused to let ruin his vacation. Where was his damn friend? As if on cue, a knock occurred at his door. About damn time, Cole grumbled and headed over to open it. On the other side stood Trent, with his brown hair neatly combed, pristine staff shirt and pants, arms propped on the door jamb. A wide grin spread across Cole's face. How the hell are you? He reached out and then did the hug-slash-back-tap thing, even if it became more hug than tap. Once released, Trent stepped into his cabin. I'm good, he said, sliding his hands into his pockets. Cole laughed. Tell me how you really feel. Trent sighed and glanced at the now closed door. That I'm fucking relieved there's 8 days left, that I could stop smiling and being polite to every goddamn person out there? Cole patted his friend's shoulder. There we go. Trent shook out his hands, people-pleasing face back in position. You got luggage? I'm hearing it's more messed up than normal this week. Nope, not yet. Trent opened his mouth, but another knock occurred at Cole's door. Maybe your cabin steward found them, Trent suggested. Cole shrugged and moved to the door, opening it. No cabin steward on the other side. No, the person standing there had coppery locks framing her face, blue eyes popping out from stylish black-framed glasses. Spellbinding. Her black top dipped low in front, revealing lush cleavage he had the sudden urge to bury into. He forced his gaze back to her face, warding off the quick burst of lust that took even him by surprise. Only instead of regaining his composure, he got lost in the myriad of blues in her eyes. Hi. This might sound strange, but I seem to have gotten your luggage delivered to my room, and I was kind of hoping maybe mine made it to yours. She bit her lip, and his brain had trouble remembering how it worked. Hi. No, say something better than that.
No, your luggage isn't here. I haven't gotten any, though I do appreciate this.
He glanced down at the bags by her feet. Those were definitely his.
He probably should have checked those out first, if his brain hadn't hung up an out-of-order sign.
She pushed the handles his way, and he grasped them, colliding with her hand for a second. A spark, a connection, a desire for skin, something, occurred, and he knew he wanted to spend this next week getting to know her better. Not his plans, not his normal M.O., but tell that to his out-of-order brain.
"Maybe we can help you find yours," he asked, gesturing back to Trent and not wanting to know what his friend thought of his behavior. Cole had perfected the unattached method to life and didn't usually fumble over himself. The woman glanced behind him and gave a small wave. Trent moved Cole's bags into the room and reached a hand out.
"I'm Trent Decca. You'll see me at a lot of the activities. And I was just telling Cole that the luggage situation is a bit of a mess this week. I'm sorry about that."
The woman shook his hand. "Well, that explains it. Mackenzie Laurel, but my friends call me Mac."
"Nice to meet you, Mac,"
Trent said. "Mackenzie Mac," Cole whispered, enchanted by her name. He really needed to get his brain back online.
"I'm Cole Matterhorn."
She studied him. "You don't work here." He chuckled.
"Wouldn't be in a room if I did. Trent is my friend, and I'm visiting, you could say."
"Preparing to bust my balls, more like."
Trent pressed his mouth closed, and Cole held in a laugh. His friend had great people skills, but after 6 months, his edges grew ragged.
"So why don't we help you? What does your luggage look like?" Cole asked.
Beside him, Trent scoffed.
"Asks the man with boring black luggage."
"Hey, that duct tape comes in handy for identification purposes."
"Which would work if that's why you put it there."
Cole decided to ignore Trent and focus on his luggage goddess instead. Mac's cheeks pinked, and he feared he'd spend the next week following her around just for a glimpse of her smile.
"My luggage actually shouldn't be too hard to find. It has lemons on it."
Trent leaned forward.
"Lemons?"
Mac's face turned a deeper shade of red.
"Yeah, sorta an inside joke and easy to find."
Cole clasped his hands together. "Well then, why don't we head out and see where your lemon bags have migrated to?"
Mac didn't know whose luck she somehow managed to borrow, but walking down the halls with two nice and insanely good-looking men did not usually happen to her. Maybe the universe was attempting to make up for Chad.
Cole walked beside her. He had a slight limp, but she struggled to get her own sea legs and didn't pay it too much attention. Not when a black shirt covered his broad shoulders. Her sandy-haired new friend had the most amazing set of green eyes she'd ever seen. Trent had jogged a few paces ahead and chatted with another staff member. He fit the description of tall, dark, and handsome, with light skin and dark hair. Really, there were worse ways to spend an afternoon.
"I have a theory. Indulge me in a few questions," Cole asked.
Mac nodded, eyes volleying from the luggage lining their perimeter to him so she could hear him better. Not even anything yellow to steal her attention, never mind her set. "People travel for one of three reasons, and I'm curious which one you are." He paused, and she didn't know if it was for dramatic effect or not.
"I'm going to need you to tell me those options in order to answer."
He laughed and held up three fingers, stopping along the side of the hall.
"One, to meet up with friends or family, bonus points for a special occasion. 2, to get away with a loved one. Or 3, because they need a chance to get away."
Mac mulled those options over.
"I wonder, are you really curious about your theory, or trying, not so subtly, I might add, to find out if I'm traveling with others?"
Cole held up his hands. I am genuinely curious. I can't help it if it also has a nice ulterior motive.
His face held a faint smile and a ton of mirth in his eyes. Max should be wary. The man was a total stranger, after all. But she wasn't going to make any friends if she didn't take chances.
If I had a companion, don't you think we'd be searching for luggage together?
His smile grew.
Fair enough.
He leaned in.
For the record, I'm a bit of one in three. While seeing Trent is my initial reason, he's busy, so my plan is to be an annoying pest any chance I get.
Mac laughed. Trent took that moment to jog back to them. He started talking far enough away that you couldn't hear him, though Cole didn't appear confused. Frustration wanted to simmer, but this was life for the hard of hearing. Doubly so when her companions didn't know she needed any accommodations.
What was that?
She asked once he got close enough. Trent stopped 2 feet away.
Sorry about that. My friend over there did report a colorful piece of luggage that he thinks was heading one floor up. I check it out with you, but I've been called in. If you don't find it by dinner, definitely let customer service know. Mac nodded. It was nice to meet you, Mac. I hope you'll take advantage of some of the activities on board. Cole, you bastard. I know I'll see you heckling me later.
Admit it. You'd cry and pout if I didn't.
Trent shook his head. You see what I have to put up with?
Mac grinned. The lighthearted banter between the men spoke of years knowing each other and made her want to know both more.
I'm not buying this as a hardship.
Cole laughed, as did Trent.
I see I'm leaving you in good hands. Pick on him, he needs it.
Trent patted Cole on the back and gave them both a wave before taking off.
Shall we try one floor up?
Cole asked.
Ignoring your friend's request to pick on you?
He shifted closer to her, warming her up with his presence.
I think more time together gives you the opportunity.
You still want to help me?
Mac wasn't sure what to make of this. If Chad had been here, he'd be unpacking his own stuff while Mac looked for hers.
Yes, I do.
His face seemed so serious for a moment. Then he blinked it, back to the more jovial expression he wore. Her luggage pile intrigued her, more so than she would have thought.
I'm not sure how to pick on someone kind enough to help me find my luggage.
Spend some time with me, and I'm sure you'll come up with something.
It was tempting. The time together, not the picking on him. She followed him up a flight, glad he didn't talk along the way. Or at least, she didn't think he talked. With other passengers wandering up and down, she ended up behind him, noting that his limp grew more pronounced on the stairs. Maybe it wasn't as simple as sea legs. She pushed those thoughts down. She just met the man and doubted that was the teasing either Cole or Trent had in mind. They went back to scanning all the luggage pieces they could find, including catching a rolling cart with a bunch crowded in. A few random colors here and there, but still no lemons.
Best to travel alone or with others? Cole asked.
Mac considered as they shifted to one side, allowing a family of four to pass them. The narrow halls were even more problematic with the luggage.
Depends on the crowd. Both known and unknown people come with pluses and minuses.
I hope new friends fall into the plus category.
If we meet again on day 8, you can ask me.
Maybe I want a chance to see you again before then. Help make this vacation a good one for you.
She didn't know how to respond. A fling was in Danny and Susie's plans, not hers. Her life needed less complications. But she couldn't deny this man attracted her to him, both in looks and personality. Didn't she deserve some fun? Up ahead, a flash of yellow caught her eye.
Wait, what's that?
Mac jogged ahead, and just around the bend, she found her 2 lemon-covered suitcases waiting for her.
Unless someone else has your affinity for lemons and If so, we'll need to establish a meeting. I'm guessing these are yours.
Max squatted down and hugged them. Yes, yes they are.
Cole laughed. I'm glad I've helped reunite you with your children.
Max stood, grasping the handles of her bags. Relief washed over her. Now she could unpack and finally start relaxing.
Before we part paths, would you care to accompany me dancing tonight?
Mac hesitated. She wanted to see more of him, yes, but it went against her goal. Another decision, and she'd already chosen the bold one early. He clearly caught her unease.
Or not. I will be doing trivia tomorrow to harass Trent. Maybe you'll show up and help me.
Then he waved and turned, walking off in the opposite direction. A pang of sadness hit her at his departure.
She shook it aside.
Nope. She did the right thing.
Didn't she?
2 hours later, Max stood in front of the mirror, fluffing her bangs so they fell to the side, no longer covering her dark-rimmed glasses. She took a deep breath of the vacation air, smoothing down her dress. She'd unpacked and felt much more settled in. Nothing like knowing all her belongings were with her, and she no longer had any chores to do until the end of the cruise. She hadn't accounted for being tempted by the dancing offer. The thought kept circling back to the front of her mind, poking at her resolve. She didn't know the where, but thanks to the luggage meeting, she did know how to find Cole again. Maybe after dinner. She wandered onto her balcony, needing a moment with the waves and fresh air. Leaning over the railing, she watched the white peaks of the small waves floating off the side of the moving ship. Point for Danny, because her breaths came easier in this environment. She almost hated how much she needed it, and that only made her more grateful for her friend's gift. Her cell began to ring, and she answered it a second before the music connected with her brain cells. Before he cheats had begun. Shit, abort, abort. Too late to abort.
Mackenzie, where the hell are you?
Mackenzie, her full name. Chad hadn't used her full name since he asked her out to dinner after her first week at the job. She could have said yes or no. She chose wrong.
Hello, Chad. Are you really going to be formal with a woman you once went down on, poorly, I might add?
The silence gratified her, until the murmur of voices and muffled laughter floated through. Speakerphone, which meant he was on site at the most recent construction zone. She glanced at the water and wondered if it would be better to jump. Chad cleared his throat and the murmurs died down.
Why aren't you at work?
Besides the fact that you fired me?
And why did it take him this long to follow up?
Mackenzie, sweetie.
His voice dripped with fake concern.
That was just a lover's quarrel.
Was she still on speakerphone?
Who cared?
No, dumping me because you're fucking the boss's daughter was a lover's quarrel. Is Kit there? Can I say hi?
Mac.
Chad's voice came out strained, and she could all but see his clenched jaw and vein popping on his forehead. Not a good look on him.
Look, you cheated, you dumped me, you fired me, and you moved all my belongings out of the house. Where exactly do you expect me to be?
Certainly not surrounded by water.
I need you to help me finish this project.
Her hands shook as she thought of all the hours she put into helping him design and construct this latest building, how she practically had her own architecture degree with everything he ran by her.
No.
No?
She could almost see his pompous eyebrow raised.
Yes, Chad. No. I understand you're not familiar with this word. Become familiar.
She hung up her phone and raised her hand to toss it in the water.
Bye-bye, Chad.
But that would also cut off both her BFFs. The breeze ruffled her hair as she remained frozen.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?